Yes. Anybody need chapter 10, 1 Corinthians handout? I have a few more left. We're at 1 Corinthians 10, yes. Yes. That was noisy. I think that I'm gone.
Okay.
I made all I made. I still have some from 9, but that won't help you with 10. Yeah, these are 9s. All right. If you go ahead and open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 13 and 16, and then we'll go to prayer. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings of this day. We thank you for allowing us to come out. We know that we have members that are sick. We ask your healing hand be upon them. Watch over the teachers as they prepare for these lessons here with the adults and those that are teaching our children, Lord. Continue to be with us each and every day. Allow our hearts and minds to be open and have a ready recollection of things that we've looked at and reviewed, and that we may be strengthened each and every day. In Jesus' precious name, who I believe and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we went over all the way through verse number 17 we got to. We look at chapter 10 and we see the overview of chapter 10. We see in 1 through 13 we had the examples of Old Testament. And so Paul was giving them a history lesson. Why would he give them a history lesson? If we don't learn by the past, what's going to happen? We're going to make the same mistakes, right? So he brought out this history lesson so we can remember, and they can remember, of where they've been and where they've come and how they should respond and some of the parallels that were given. And we saw that in Deuteronomy. We saw that in Exodus. And we look at the parallels today. Then in verses 14 through 22, and we kind of got to the first part of that, he talks again about the warnings and not to commit idolatry. And then and we'll see in the last section the application of these principles. So verse 17 is kind of where we left off. So we'll read verse 17 and review a little bit. So in verse 17, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we partake of all one bread." Remember, he was talking about the communion that we take in the body of Christ. But he was saying we are all one, right? As we come together, as we pray, we're all one body. As we commune with the Lord and through the Lord's Supper, we're one body. And we have a couple passages that kind of helps relate that too. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. And I'll read some of these passages first. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and," here's the other part, "individual members of one another." So we're part of the one body, but each of us are individual, right? That means we all have different responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll get to that too, after 11 and 12. And Larry's going to have that, but I want to read chapter 12, verses 12 and 27. So turn 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and verse 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And now, a few verses down in that same chapter. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Then let's turn to Ephesians 4:4 and 4:16. And it says, Paul also writing this letter to the Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And then in verse 16, further down in that chapter, Ephesians 4, from who the whole body joined and what are we? Well, how many seamstresses we have here? Knit. How do you do that? Right? How do you do that? You got to fuse things together, right? Different. When you make a quilt, right? We're taking different squares. My wife knows that because she knows how to quilt. Different squares, and you put them together. She's shaking her head. Yes, you are. You're a good quilter. And you knit them together by what every joint supplies, according to be the effect of working by which every part does what?
Its share.
So we all have a share in this. We all have a part in this. We're all one. We're all trying to get to the same place. We hope so, right? We all hope we're going to try and get to the same place, right? And are we helping each other grow? Because it says causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we're trying to make sure as we come together and we're studying, we're building each other up. We're building each other up, so we're edifying, and that means we're growing. And if we're knit together, what does that mean? The seams are tighter, right? That we can't be separated. Again, hopefully. Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Grateful? Thankful? Begrudgingly? No, be thankful. And then I had a couple of questions at the end. Why should a Christian not eat in an idol's temple? Do we have temples today that they sacrifice food in idols? Do we know of any places that still do that? Well, yeah, there are some places that still do that. It's not here in the United States, I don't think, but it may be. Where do we see still being sacrificed to idols? Which religions still kind of do that? There's some in India, there's some in the Philippines, there's some overseas, yes. And if there is a temple, right, what do we think about things we probably as a Christian shouldn't go into? What places? Okay, there's one place I can think of right off the bat. It's right off I-4, Hillsborough Avenue in Orient. They have a big sign. Right. Right. It used to be a place where they would do shows and alligator wrestle. Now it's a casino, right? Are there any restaurants or places like that probably a Christian shouldn't go into? We have a couple of names. Yeah, there's two on 98 now. Almost right across the street from each other. Yes. Who does the Christian have fellowship with when we partake in the Lord's Supper? Who's our fellowship with?
The Lord.
Lord, yes. And do we have a choice of free will today? Yes. All right, as Paul continues, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians and let's start this next section, verses 18 through 22. And Paul starts off with, observe Israel after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers, fellowshippers, or sharers of the altar? What is he talking about? He's talking about idols, right? If you go into that temple and you partake in those things, if you go into places that you shouldn't go into as a Christian, are you partaking in what they're doing? Yes. And can anybody tell the difference, right? Now, as a first responder, I've been in many different locations because that's where we go. You know, as a first responder, law enforcement, paramedics, EMTs, we go into all kinds of establishments. Have I been to the casino? Yes, when that was my zone, I've been there many times. Yes. Why was I called? Not to hang out, but I was there for to do my job. But yes. Oh, you went into the casino. Well, they kind of like, you're part of the first responder. They expect you to go there, right? Law enforcement does the same thing. Chet, have you been into some of the finest establishments throughout your career? How about you, Danielle? Yeah. How about you, Tony? Yes. But that was part of the job. That was part of what you were doing. I didn't go there on my off time or my casual time to visit those places. And it says in Leviticus 3:3, and then ye shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. So Israel was doing animal sacrifices, right? But God had given them specific patterns as to how it should be done. When they put it on the altar, was all the animal consumed? No, just certain parts, and other parts were used to feed the priest. Yes. Verse 19, Paul asked them a question. What's his first question? What am I saying then? What does he say? What's the question mean? All right. I just told you something. What do I mean by this, right? I want you to know, what do you mean? Why would he do that? Why would he ask a question on what he just said? He answered a question with a question. I thought you weren't supposed to do that. I thought grammatically you weren't supposed to answer a question with a question. But what is he trying to do? Make them think on their own. Make them understand. Hey, do you understand why I'm saying these things? Do you understand why it's important to follow those examples? Do you understand why it's not a reason for you to partake in those sacrifices and how your fellowship with those partakers of that sacrifice would make you look like they are? Because right after that, he asks another question. That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. But because, what were the idols?
Just wood or stone.
Right, wood, stone, who created them?
Man,
were they living? No, that's been proved many times. Yes. My favorite proof was, you know, in the Old Testament, when he says, hey, you have all these worshipers in Baal, we're going to see who's living God. And 500 priests were worshiping to try and get them to consume this altar sacrifice. And then God's challenge was observed by all of Israel. You think they would understand that? Yes. And verse 20. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who?
Demons.
And not to? And I do not want you to have?
Demons.
Right. You don't want to be fellowshipping with demons. Let's turn to Leviticus 17, verse 7. And then we'll read Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Galatians. So Leviticus 17, 7. Leviticus 17, 7. Malachi, you got that for me? So that was being said that, hey, you're offering these sacrifices to demons. You played the harlot. And that this didn't happen in just one generation, but continual generations. Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 through 18. Who's got that for me? Deuteronomy 32, 16 through 18. Clay?
They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God who fathered you.
And who was that parallel we learned just a little bit ago was the rock?
Jesus
Christ. Yes. Chet, do you have Psalm 106, 36 through 38? Yes, 106, yep.
They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood.
And where did they learn that from? Again, the nations around them, the people around them, because they intermarried and intermingled, and they were being changed from God-fearing to also worshiping idols. Paul writes in Galatians 4:8, "But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by which nature are not gods." And so the focus is on verse 20, "Rather than the things which the Gentiles sacrifice to demons and not to God, I do not want you to have fellowship with these demons." Because when they're sacrificing, when they're putting them first, they're doing away with their service to God. Because God said you can't serve what? Two masters? You can't serve another God, because we find out that God is a jealous God. In verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the demons." And in verse 22, "Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we," what? "Stronger than He." So we see God was jealous, right? Why was He jealous? Well, He made us, right, in His image. And He wanted us by free will to follow Him. So let's turn to Psalm 78, verses 57 through 59. And then if someone would look up Deuteronomy 32, 16, and 21, we'll get to that in a minute. But Psalm 78, 57 through 59. "But turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bough. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, He was furious and greatly abhorred Israel." So who's got Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 and 21? Separately, just 16 and 21. Ken?
Deuteronomy
32, 16 and 21. And verse 21.
"They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation."
So this was in, what? A couple thousand years ago. But this was before their Christ was born. And they did the same thing now during the time of Christ. They were still following these idols. They were still following away from Christ. They were still moved away from God and following the things of the land, and did not remember that God said, "You'll have no other gods before me, because you're going to create wrath upon yourselves." And what was His wrath? What did He do to the northern kingdom? They went into captivity, but it was utterly wiped out, right? Did any of the remnant from the northern kingdom say they came back? No, it was the southern kingdom that had a remnant that came back. And then even the southern kingdom was taken away in captivity. And then what happened to the temple? It was destroyed. We know in a few years, in 70 AD, what's going to happen to the temple again? It's going to be destroyed, yes. And let's turn to Ezekiel 22, verse 14. "Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong? In the days when I shall deal with you, I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Is God slack on his punishment to Israel? Is he slack even on punishment today? No, he's watching us, right? He's watching each one of us, yes, to make sure that we continue to be his children. All right, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and section 23 through 26. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build up." Well, what was he trying to tell him? He told them the idols are nothing. So the meat sacrificed to idols were really nothing, right? But if they partake in the fellowship of that worship, that is something, yes. And he says, well, all things are lawful. I can do a lot of things, but you should think about, well, are they lawful? Did God give us authority to do that? And are they building up? Who are we supposed to be building up again?
Brothers.
Right, we're one body, right? We're supposed to be building up each other. If I go somewhere and that brings someone down or causes them to stumble, am I edifying them? If I'm tearing them down, if I'm going somewhere that, hey, I'm going to stumble, that's a stumbling block for me, you know, and I go there, you know, and that's causing them, well, you know, Bob went there, so I guess I can go there. That's what we need to think about. That's what Paul's trying to give them, that remember, these things are important. And we read this earlier in 1 Corinthians, so stay in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to chapter 6, read verse 12. Paul also writes, remember, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful or profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In verse 24 of chapter 10, Paul writes to them and says, let no one seek his own good, but the what? Others, or it's in my version says of his neighbor, right? We're talking about each other, right? Building each other up, making sure we're comforting each other. Are there times that each of us need comfort and strength? Is there other times that we can offer strength and encouragement? When does that happen? When does that happen? It happens at different times, right? Okay, right now we had a couple people that were in the hospital, right? Can you be discouraged in the hospital and no one comes visit you? Sure, right? Oh, they didn't come visit me. It wasn't important, you know. Can all of us do that every time? No, we can't do it every time, but we can do it when we have the opportunity, right? When someone goes home and they need some help and support, can we do that? Yes. How about just a kind word every time we see each other? Yeah. Clay, I love your honey. It's awesome. I love your prayers, Jerry. They're awesome. They come from the heart. Each one of us can give a kind word. Does it cost any more to do that? No. Yeah. Couple sentences to be thoughtful, because that's what he's trying to say. Hey, don't always seek your own glory and gain. Help each other, right? Right? But each other's well-being. Look to them. Look to them to build each other up. You know, in the English Standard says, be the good of his neighbor, but each one's other's well-being. But each one the other's well-being. Right? We get a reward in heaven. We don't have to have a reward here, right? We don't need to look for a reward here, but we can do that by helping each other. And by having a kind word, does that help that brother or sister? Yeah. Will that pay dividends? Yeah, hey, they took their time out of their day to come visit me and say something kindly to me and help edify and build me up. And then Paul switches a little bit. Verse 25 and 26 of chapter 10. Eat whatever is sold in the market. And then what does it say? Don't ask about it. Don't ask any questions.
I got this from a guide.
Yeah. Now, when we go to grocery stores today, I kind of want to ask questions like, how old is it? You know, it looks kind of old. You know, maybe I'm not ready for this one, right? But he's talking about if it was sacrificed to idols. For the earth, the world, everything in it, is who? And its fullness, right. Right, right. Let's turn to Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. Who's got that for me? 24, verse 1. Chuck, you got that for me? But I know you're fast.
24, verse 1.
Yes, sir.
The earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein.
So those are principles that Paul's trying to relate to. Everything that God has made is also his, and it's full, and the world and all the things there are available for us. And then I have three questions. Can a Christian cause someone to fall or stumble or be a stumbling block to them to becoming a believer in Christ? Can we be that stumbling block?
Yes.
Yes. How do we do that? How do we become a stumbling block? Right. Not thinking about them first, you know. Is it our approach? Sometimes. Is it our mannerism? Sometimes. Is it our actions? Well, hopefully not. Why should a Christian conduct themselves towards others, either in their home or in the workplace? How should we conduct ourselves? What should we be?
Christians.
Christians. We should be the salt of the earth, right? Because if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing, right? We're the light of the world. We should show that light. We should be the example. They go, hey, you're different. James, you're so different than everybody else around you. Why are you so different? Because I'm a Christian, right? I don't behave like the world. I behave differently. Your manner of speech is different. The manner of actions is different. How you interact with people around you is different. That makes us a strange and peculiar people. That's what God said we are. We're a strange and peculiar people. Yes. How will the Christian act, behave when eating or visiting a brother's home? Maybe someone who's not a Christian. How would you act and behave? Hey, I want to give you a beer. I want to give you a glass of wine. I don't want to be that stumbling block, right? And how about my conversation when we're talking with each other? Do I have a different way of speaking? Do I have a different vocabulary? I want to say really long words that talk about medical terminology, right? No, that's not it, right? My wife says, you can say that in simpler terms. You don't have to use the vocabulary words, right? Yes, we have different mannerism. 1 Corinthians 27 through 30. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner. Oh, they're inviting us to dinner. I'm already good. They're going to feed me. And you desire to go, what does it say I should do? Eat whatever is set before you and do what?
Ask no questions.
Right. I'm not going to ask a nature or origin. I may want to ask, well, is this lamb or is this pork or is this beef or is this chicken? Right? Ask no questions. Did Jesus give the same commandments when he started that limited commission? He says, yeah, go out, stay in someone's home, eat whatever they have, be thankful, and then bless them. Yes. In verse 28, but if anyone asks you, or I'm sorry, not asks of you, says to you, this was offered to idols. What does it say not to do?
Don't eat it.
And tell the one that was giving you this, well, I can't eat this food. The earth is the Lord's with all its fullness. He requotes what he just had said back in verse 26. But when it's been offered to idols, is it different now? Because what that person who's there offering it to them, what is he doing? He's thinking, well, if you can eat it, then you're having fellowship and partake with the idols. Yes. See, you're a hypocrite. As Christians, do we already get charged of being hypocrites? Yeah, we already get charged with being hypocrites because they think we act one way or say one thing, right? Verse 29. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Are my actions judged by someone else when they see me? Yes. Sure. Yes. Why is that? Everybody has their own measuring stick, right? You're not measuring up to that. Hey, you know. Do they, when you profess you're a Christian, do they have a different measuring stick for people? Are they more critical of Christians? Yeah. Is other things that they're willing to like pass by, is it more, I guess, is it more meaningful saying, oh, well, he did it, so that's the problem? Yes. So we're not all on the same plane when it comes to that? And in verse 30, but if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Who do we give thanks to when we partake in anything? God, the Lord. He's provided for all of us, right? Yes, he's provided for all of us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. Romans 14, verses 5 and 6. David, you got that for me? Romans 14, 5 and 6. Yes.
He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks.
So the principle there is, hey, we should be appreciative of every day. We should be appreciative of the things that we receive that God has given by his hands, and we should be thankful of those things, and we should be also passing those things on. Let's finish up. We got about 5 minutes, so let's finish up with the last few verses of chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, plus we're going to add 11:1, because, you know, man made chapter breaks, and this wasn't such a great chapter break because it continued the same theme. So 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33. Therefore, okay, so remember, why is therefore there? He's about to teach, right? I'm going to give you a teaching point, all right? Paul, as I'm summarizing this up, therefore, I should be mindful. Now I should remember he's going to tell me something. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, really? So whether I'm doing things, whether I'm eating and drinking, I should be thankful? In the same principle we found in Romans, right? We should be thankful of the day. We should be thankful of the things we have in front of us, right? But I should be making sure, right, my practices daily, that I'm giving thanks to God. And then, again, he's summarizing this chapter, verse 32. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God. Church of Christ. Believers, right? Give no offense. Meaning what? I should be mindful of those. Put others first. Give no offense to either Jews or Greeks or the Church of God. Why? Because I'm trying to win souls, right? That's the job. Win souls. Remember Paul told us earlier that I'm all things, all people. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm focused on that. Just as I also please all men in all things. And then what does he say next? Not what? Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved, meaning what? Christians, right? And then in verse, chapter 11, verse 1, he summarizes this by saying what? Imitate me, just as I also... All right, so let's look at some of those verses that I have to go along with that. Let's turn to Colossians 3:17 and 1 Peter 4:11. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, if anyone ministers, let him do so as with the ability which who supplies? Do we all have different abilities? Do we all have different strengths? Do we all have different ways we can help edify and build up? That in all things God may be through to Him to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then Romans 14, 12 through 13. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to make our brother fall away. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples or weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification or building up. And then when I did 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll go 1 Corinthians 9, verses 22, because Paul said, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak, and I have become all things, all men, that I may by all means save some. Or remember, he talked about many. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For I have pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Then Hebrews 6, verses 11 through 13. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become a sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right, we had a couple other passages. I had them in the handouts, and I gave you some questions, and then also asked you to outline the chapter. So hopefully you had a chance to do that. Next week, Larry will start with chapter 11. And then 12, and then Daryl will have 13 and 14, and I'll be back for chapter 15 and 16. Thank you for your kind attention. I appreciate it.
Hey, Joe, you feeling better?
Yeah.
Good, good.